What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 297 of the PS4 podcast. I'm JCM. With us this week is Messiah.
Hello.
And Isley is, he might show up later. He had a oil change that took way longer than he expected. So
sad.
Yeah, he went to go get it. So he might not, but it's going to be a short episode because there's not much to talk about. And we're right in between games coming out. So you figure we'll have Assassin's Creed next weekend. So we'll be able to talk about that. Well, I don't know how much considering it comes out on Friday, but we can at least talk about the opening of Assassin's Creed Odyssey. So
yeah.
But yeah, because other than that, wasn't much new releases. I think there were some games that actually we thought had released last week because reviews had come out for them. But it turns out they actually released this week, and it was just early reviews. Like, I think this week was actually Valkyria Chronicles 4. And I thought it came out the week prior. Oop, I have my TV volume on. But yeah. But I'm trying to see. I know there's I think there's still another flash sale going on. Let me hop in here real quick and see if it's there. Deals. Yeah, so there's another PlayStation Plus special that ends on the 2nd. There's a Last of Us sale that ends on Monday. It's the Outbreak Day sale. You get a pretty good dynamic theme that comes with it. For free. It's kind of cool because the icons go behind Ellie. It looks real nice. And then the music, I never turn the music on the main menu of the PS4, but I actually turned it on for this because I was like, yeah, I like this music. Yeah, the PlayStation Plus specials, you can get like Nier Automata for $30. The Crew 2 is $36. You can get Elder Scrolls Online, the Morrowind expansion for $10. And then I think that also includes the base game. And then the newest expansion that came out for them, I forget what it was called, that will cost a bit extra. Far Cry 4 is $18. Your Name, the anime, is on sale as well. Let's see. What are the game deals we got here? Hopefully they put them in the proper order. You know, the Golf Club 2019 featuring PGA Tour. Apparently it's pretty popular. That's $37.50. Just Dance 2018 is on sale. Dragon's Crown Pro is on sale. What else do you got? Rock Band 4 and stuff like that. And then I think now we're just getting into all the miscellaneous stuff. MotoGP, Magica, Magica 2, yada yada. There's gonna be some more in there, but I wish they'd order by popularity instead of by alphabetical, because that kind of throws me off. But yeah, there seems to be deals every week, so I always just check the PSN all the time. Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy is on sale for $24, and that's not even a PlayStation Plus discount, so you can go ahead and just get that. Warriors Orochi 4, looks like a collector's edition is on sale. The gold edition of Ghost Recon Wildlands is on sale as well. Lots of stuff. Oh, they have a discount on Castlevania Requiem, which did get announced this week. It's the bundle of Symphony of the Night and Rondo of Blood. You can get it right now, pre-ordered for $16.99, regular prices, $20. They announced this. It's going to be, let's see, they said that it's been up-resed, or it's got an upgrade. I'm trying to read the full support here. It doesn't say in the description. Usually the descriptions will say, you know, if it's, oh, it has new 4K background. Like, I think it has, like, a background on it that supports 4K, and the game just takes up the 4x3 middle of the screen. At least that's what it looked like from the announcement trailer. I never played Rondo Blood. I'm not familiar with it at all, but I probably will end up buying this because I wouldn't mind playing Symphony of the Night. I almost dusted off my Vita the other day and charged it up so I could play it on there. I'm sure if I just got my plugged in my PS3, I could just do it there because I have it on PS3, of course. But yeah, so that did get announced. No big new announcements. We did, as far as news goes, we got confirmed that the install size for Red Dead Redemption 2 is ridiculously big. It's 105 gigs. The biggest game so far. So I was looking at other games that I compare to on my hard drive. But of course, the games I have, while they're big, like 90 gigs and 80 gigs and 85, they have patches on them or they have expansions. So
yeah,
I'm curious what it'll be from the get. I know Doom has a pretty basic install size as well, and I think Assassin's Creed Origin also has a pretty big one, but I don't have it on my hard drive anymore. But yeah, that'll be big. The Sony did confirm that they will be skipping PSX this year. They confirmed it on the PlayStation, the official PlayStation broadcast. Sean Layden was on there talking about how they just basically they didn't have anything big to really show, and they didn't want to have a lackluster conference, so they're just going to hold off on it, which is fine. And then to step in, Greg Miller tweeted how he's like, hey, we'll do a kind of funny thing after the Game Awards. Just get in touch with me if you want to talk about your game, whether you're any developer. It can be Xbox, could be Nintendo, doesn't matter. Like, they're going to do their own little thing. And apparently, a bunch of people seems like they're interested, because Greg then tweeted a little later about his inbox and his Gmail was like just full of emails. So maybe we could get something from them, just a small little thing. Just developers talking about their games, maybe showing concept art, just some, especially if it's like indie devs who usually don't get a lot of time to talk about their projects.
Yeah.
So that'd be interesting. But yeah, I mean, I liked PSX the year I went. I know last year it was a little lackluster. At least people felt it was, because it wasn't quite what the previous years were. They didn't have a proper conference. They did have Greg come out and talk to Sean Layden about PlayStation, and Sid Schumann did have a bunch of developer interviews and stuff, but yeah, it wasn't quite the same as it was the years prior. But it was interesting. Like, I was listening to the Kind of Funny podcast and Games Daily, and someone was speculating, like, I forget, it was like a question that someone wrote in, but they were wondering if maybe they were postponing it because they're working on the PlayStation 5, and maybe some of these, the games they're working on now, like, they want to wait till maybe the next year to discuss it, if they want to hold off on any new announcements or anything like that, because they're going to be doing a PlayStation 5 specific reveal like they did with the PlayStation 4. I don't think they'll be doing one in 2019, but I mean, anything's possible, but we'll see. But yeah, and hey, if they got nothing to show, I mean, you don't want to have a boring, you know, conference. But I'm curious what Xbox is going to have, because Xbox is having their own little thing this year. So I'll be curious to see what they announce, if it's just going to be more in-depth looks at games they already talked about at E3, or if they're going to announce anything new. Like, I'm curious how that contrasts previous years of PSX and see how it stacks up.
So they're going to do their own, like, PSX event thing, or is it just like a conference or something?
They announced, like, it was, I think they called it an Xbox experience or something like that. It was announced a while ago. Let's see. Xbox.
I just totally missed that. Jeez.
Experience. 2018. Let's see. Xbox Fan Fest 2018.
So they're copying Final Fantasy and not PlayStation.
Well, now this can't be right. This is the one they did for E3. What they're doing something. I'm trying to find out the official. No, that's the Xbox Experience and Fan Fest that was there. Where's the one? Where is it? Xbox Guide to Xbox. That's E3 Xbox 2018 fan event. Fan Fest. I'll just call it Fan Fest. Let's see if. No, that's still linking me back to the E3 event. I know there's something.
God, are they doing it this year, or did they push it to next year, maybe?
No, it's supposed to be this year, but all the ones I'm seeing are just the Xbox Experience stuff they did at E3, which they do typically all the time. And then these ones they did for Gamescom, because I heard it was on, because I listened to the Unlocked podcast from IGN, and they were talking about, I remember it was announced a while back. I'm trying to see where it is. Xbox fan. I'll just call it Xbox Fan Event. Fan Event. Like PSX. Okay, 4 days ago. A new article. Okay, so let's see. Xbox Fan Event returns in November. During an Inside Xbox live stream, Phil Spencer said that Xbox or X018 will broadcast online globally. It's bringing back its Xbox Expo this year with XO 2018 in Mexico City on November 10th. Yeah, so we know, quote, this is from Phil Spencer. We know our fans love big announcements. Well, big announcements is an SIC quote. We can celebrate what it means to be an Xbox fan and gamer. I think it's going to be a great time. We're bringing back XO. One thing fans have to understand is that their voice is critically important. We are listening to their feedback. It's critical to the products and services that we put in front of them. We're listening. Microsoft has Microsoft has thrown XO events in the past, but it is bringing it back in a time when we have no shortage of major gatherings, blah blah blah. Okay, so yeah, it's basically there. It's the X018. So I guess that's how they combine the like Xbox Experience 2018. They just say X018. It looks kind of sloppy, but whatever. But anyways, yeah. So that's on November 10th. So I'll be curious to see what they do. I'm guessing they'll probably have, obviously, everything that's released since then playable. So they'll have probably Red Dead. You can see it running on an Xbox One X in 4K. Mm-hmm. Or whatever they do. You can see probably Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Maybe they'll have Battlefield 5, since that won't release until, I think, the week. That doesn't release until the week of Thanksgiving. So they might have that there. But yeah, I'd be curious to see. I never paid attention to what the other fan events were. I don't think anything big ever came out of them. Maybe that's why I don't remember anything substantial, but yeah, we'll see what happens. I'll be curious. But other than that, as far as the Waves news, there wasn't too much else. I'm trying to see if we didn't get any updates on the games from the PlayStation Classic. The Scuf Vantage wireless controller did get released. It's basically like a PlayStation Elite controller. It's got offset sticks. It's customizable all over. So face plates, buttons, you can change the sticks to concave, convex, the height. And then it has two extra shoulder buttons on the side and four paddles on the back. I'm really interested in this controller, but GameStop does sell it exclusively as the only retailer. Otherwise, you have to buy it online at scuffgaming.com. But I want to feel it in my hand. And see, because the way it looks, the paddles on the back, there's two of them that are close to where you traditionally hold the controller, but the other two are kind of more in the middle. They don't fan out quite like the Xbox Elite controller does, where that seems more natural. Like, they rest, like, where your fingers rest. It looks like you have to do a little bit of reaching to hit the middle paddles. But yeah, I am really interested in the controller. I know they've created a Infinity Pro, I think it's called the Infinity Pro S Scuf controller, which is basically just a modified PS4 controller that only had two paddles, and that was it. And then they created the another controller. I'm trying to remember what they called it. I can't remember, but it was another one. It's basically, it's kind of like the Vantage is now, except the sticks weren't offset, and that had, I believe, four paddles, and then this one's got the offset sticks and the two additional shoulder buttons. But I'm really interested in this controller. I was interested back when they announced it. I think it was like June, but because it's officially licensed. But my concern is that it's expensive. It's more than what a Razer Raiju or the other Razer controller would cost. I want it because of the paddles and the extra buttons. I feel like that would help a lot in video games. Because I would love to have the extra button for jumping, so I don't have to take my finger off the stick. Or having a game that has D-pad functionality for selection of certain things and mapping those to the left side paddles. Because I feel like in Fortnite, it would be fantastic to have a dedicated jump button on a paddle. Because in the one thing I always find annoying is when I'm in a build battle and I need to jump and turn around simultaneously to shoot someone. And mm-hmm. it's like, it's I have to quickly jump and then go back to the stick and then rotate and everything. And it'd be nice if I could just do that in the same motion.
So you don't have to crab claw it.
Yeah. And, but yeah, it's, I really would like to try the controller. I wish they had it. I don't think the one closest to me has one, but it seems like I think some others that are like our biggest malls, I think they have, might have in stock. I just would like to hold one first. I don't like offset sticks, but I've used offset sticks before on the Xbox controller and it's fine. I just don't prefer it. But as long as I don't have to use the D-pad, I think that's the biggest thing, because I don't like the Xbox D-pad. I don't think I like the D-pad on this one, but I won't mind the offset sticks. I just wish I can hold it so I could feel, because the one reviewer I saw for the Scuf game, he didn't like the middle paddles because his hands were smaller. So I'd be interested to see like how do my hands fit on it, especially because the shape of the controller is much more like the Xbox design on the current console. So I want to see. But plus, I want to, like, if I knew for sure it was going to work on the PS5, then that would be the biggest push. That'd be like, okay, if I get this, it's an investment, but it'll work on next gen. And I can't see Sony changing the internals or any major designs on the PS, on the DualShock 4 to a DualShock 5, except maybe get rid of the touchpad. And the light bar on the touchpad, but you figured everything else should be fine. So there should be, I'd imagine you should be able to use your PS4 controllers on your PS5. I feel like it'd be silly not to. I mean, you've had so many custom controllers come out. Like, why the heck would you make them? Nah, you can't use them. But
you would think, but
you'd hope. You'd hope they'd be smart to do that. I mean, especially if, I would hate to spend money and then it's like a year and a half later, like, oh, here's a new console. You can't use your old, this expensive controller you picked up. And I'm like, well, great.
Yeah, that's your computer controller now.
Yeah, right. But yeah, I am interested, but I'd like to hold it first, and I wish I knew that. But yeah, that's out. And then, other than that, not too much else. I thought there was something I was missing, but no, nothing big gaming. The season 6 for Fortnite kicked off this week. The map got changed. I had some really weird bugs with it day one. I usually never have major bugs with Fortnite whenever they patch it. There was this old one from a couple seasons back where when you get killed, the game would drop frames. So like it seemed like it would freeze for a second and then it would go back, but you're dead. So it didn't matter. It wasn't like it impacted your game. It only happened when you died, but it was annoying. That happened again after the patch. And then I had a thing where like my character would be invisible when I jumped from the bus, but then would show up when I deployed my glider. And I had one I'd never seen before, and no one posted about it on the subreddit, which is weird. But I cut a video and I posted it, because they usually, whenever there's bugs, they like to go, they go, oh, bug reports on this sub, on this thread, say what it is, proof, can it be replicated, and what console you're playing on. And so I took a video of it and put it on YouTube. But it was like the level of detail wouldn't load in. So the LOD on the map, you know, when you're up in the bus, would be super low. But of course, you're so far away, it doesn't look that low. And as you get closer, it traditionally, like most games, starts to get higher levels of detail. For some reason, for me, it wouldn't do that. The LOD would remain the lowest possible value until I landed, and then it would load in the buildings and trees around me. The downside of this was that if I tried to land on a structure that was in this low LOD condition, I would clip through it and then get stuck and I'd be floating and then I just get killed because someone could see me. Like, it wouldn't load properly. So it was like, that was super not. Luckily, it got fixed later that night. I think they must have hot patched it or did a hot fix. But yeah, I was trying to play some solos and I'm like, no, this isn't good, because I essentially can't land anywhere. But especially if it's spicy, it's like I can't go in any of the buildings to get a gun. I can't land on a building. I'm like, this isn't good.
I mean, you're landing in the buildings.
Yeah, it's like, and then just stuck in this weird jiggle pose. I can't move. And, yeah, and but yeah, the new season pass scores came with the new update. They vaulted a ton of weapons, which is so weird. They vaulted a ton of stuff just out of nowhere. It was like the bouncers, the bounce pads, impulse grenades, light machine gun, dynamite, or remote explosives, and then suppressed SMG. Like five things they just vaulted all of a sudden. They're like, what? But so that totally threw kind of everyone for a loop, like, bring back the bounce pads. But and they introduced a new item, but then they quickly had a patch disable the item because it was causing an invisibility bug on players, and then they brought it back, and then before I could use it, they took it out again because of problems. So hopefully at some point, it's like the shopping cart. Shopping carts are always causing problems when those first came out because people were getting underneath the map. But yeah, hopefully it's coming because it's a cool item. It's like an item that makes you like invisible. If you don't move, you can't fire when you're in this like phase mode. It lasts for 45 seconds. You can move quicker, and I think you can jump a little further. You take no fall damage, and you can phase through objects. But then in order to come out of it, either you have to wait for the timer to run out, or you hit basically the ADS button, and then your character does this animation to phase out of it, where like they do like this rah, like scary animation, and then you can shoot your gun.
So it's like an oh shit button, basically.
Yeah, and it's like some people getting scared by it. It was really funny. It's like someone phases in behind them, and they pop out of it and shoot them. But yeah, pretty cool item, and they're all over the map. But I haven't been able to use them yet because they keep getting disabled. So, but yeah, other than that, I don't think there's much else. Yeah, no, nothing. Nothing else major. Yeah, we just have to wait for Assassin's Creed to talk about that. But yeah, no big, no major nonsense. I doubt there's going to be any until. I know, who, maybe we'll see something new at Game Awards, or maybe we'll see some third-party stuff at the Xbox, the X018, but
whatever the hell they call it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's it for the news. So what, you still playing 14?
Yeah, we're just still playing catch-up on 14 and grinding and stuff like that, and I'm almost done with Little Dragon's Cafe, so that's kind of depressing, but... I think I want to get The World Ends With You Switch Edition because that was a fucking fantastic game on DS, and I really want to play it on Switch. So I think once I'm done with Little Dragon Cafe, luckily it comes out like way after Assassin's Creed. So I think it comes out on the 12th. There's a lot of shit coming out next month.
Yeah. So.
There's a we're going to do Assassin's Creed. There's a like special Lineage 2 server that's coming out that's like vanilla Lineage 2 or something like that I kind of want to dive in and try, and Maple Story 2 comes out on the 15th, I think, or the 10th. I think it's the 10th it launches. I already have it downloaded. I really want to play it. It looks freaking adorable.
Interesting. Is Lineage 2, was the first Lineage also online, or?
I don't know. I think so. I think it was.
Cause I
don't know. I don't remember. I don't think I ever played it. I think I just like read about it, and then I played Lineage 2 like forever ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I know Lineage 2. I've seen it a lot. Like I'm familiar with the logo and. But I'm not aware like how popular it is or anything, like if it's pretty up there. But
I didn't really know if it was. Anymore, I don't think. But
yeah with Morrowind and Elder Scrolls Online being $10 for the base game, and the first expansion, I was thinking, I was like, man, you know, every time they discount it, I'm always tempted to get it and just casually play it because I could get a shit ton of value out of that $10.
Yeah.
And I feel like there should be a lot of single player content I can do, or that could be a fun game really just to casually play co-op with like someone else play it. But yeah, I'm like, I don't know if I'll end up getting it, but every time I see it, I'm like,
I could.
I was trying to see it. I thought I saw something else in the news, but I was flipping through a news app. But yeah, I finished Tomb Raider. So I finally got to see what that, I remembered immediately. I was like, okay, I need to know what the alternate button is that people talk about.
Yeah.
It's, it wasn't really that spoilers, so if I had read it before, it wouldn't have mattered. But it was weird. So, like, it's more like a fan nod if you're fans of the original series. Mm. But it was kind of odd that they took it out. Like, I guess the reason they would take it out would be, like, so they're not beholden. If another game was to come out in the series, they're not beholden to do what this little Easter egg nod implies. So, like, essentially it's, like, the way the button kind of cuts, like, it's Laura doing VO and talking about, like, her experience, basically, over the past three games. Kind of her as a person, like. And it's the same in both. The difference is that one of them shows, like, as the camera pans around the office she's in, there's, at one point in the cut version, it lingers on a letter that comes from Jacqueline Natula from the first game. And she ends up picking it up at the end of the cutscene and, like, looking at the letter and then opening up the letter. So it implies, like, oh, next she'd be doing exactly what she did in the first original Tomb Raider kind of thing. Yeah. Like, it's like, oh, it's a little Easter egg kind of thing. But then they just cut that whole letter out of the official version, and then there's no letter there, and there's no Easter egg from Natla. But
that's like not even a... I mean, that's the order of events. These whole three games were basically prequels to all those, right?
Well, I mean, they did... It's kind of more like a reboot, because they had prequel segments and stuff in the other Tomb Raiders. Like, Tomb Raider 4, the last revelation, the opening level is you going back as Laura as a teen, I guess. And she
has... Yeah, but she's, like, super little. She's, like, a little girl.
Yeah, it's her and Von Croy, and they're raiding the tomb, getting that artifact. And then you do another one in Tomb Raider Chronicles. There's one where there's, like, that cult that she deals with. That's, like, I was watching it was, like, history of Tomb Raider, and I was watching, like, the Tomb Raider Chronicles when we got there, which I bought that game, because then it teased that at the end of that teases that, because, of course, at the end of Last Revelations, she stops Seth, and she goes to leave the Great Pyramid, and then she gets trapped and stuck inside, and then Von Croy couldn't save her. And it's implied that she died. But then in Chronicles, if you beat all the chapters, the end cutscene is that they're digging out into the pyramid, and someone finds her backpack, and Von Croy picks up the backpack, and he's, like, excited about it, like, and, like, oh, implying that Laura's still alive. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Angel of Darkness picks up after the last revelation. But yeah, in Chronicles, when I was watching it, like, it's like, oh, yeah, and then in Chronicles, the first level's this, and you do this, and the second level's this, and you do this. And I'm like, man, I hardly remember any of this, because I'm pretty sure I played the first parts of each level, and then I level skipped them. That's the one I played the least. I was like, man, I remember the cult part, but, like, the scenes they were showing for the younger Laura dealing with this cult, I was like, I don't remember that section of the game at all. Like, my memories of that cult part were in a completely different spot. But, yeah, it was a interesting look. So, yeah, but when I saw the Easter egg, I was like, man, that'd be kind of cool if they did, like, a next-gen, this engine reinterpretation and retelling of the first game. Because, I mean...
Oh, my God, yes.
Because Anniversary essentially did that. Like, it added more to Laura's character and kind of character development. Because even in that one, it had her questioning her as a person and what she was doing. Like, I think Natla questions her on it, like, how she's kind of killed and whatnot. And, I was like, man, I would totally replay if they redid and just retold. You can change certain parts of the story if you want. If they just retold the first one and then maybe did, like, the second one, man, if they did, like, the first four and just redid them, I would buy those immediately. I would love it.
Oh, heck yeah.
Just,
which is why that was such a cool thing, because it's like, oh, we've retconned the series a little bit, we've kind of rebooted it, now we're gonna go back into the originals and have, like, that story continue, but with our, like, take on it, basically.
Yeah, that would be really cool. I would love
that'd to be do that fucking again. Rad.
Yeah, that'd be so good. Because there are I'd love to see like two redone, because two, the story of two is very basic. It was funny watching these and then going back and like, oh, and this is a story, and the mob wants to get the dagger and yada yada. And mm-hmm. I was like, but man, having a final boss fight where you fight a dragon, that'd be pretty dope.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was I was like, man. And then they could totally retool the third game to be, cause the third one was cool because I liked that it let you do any level in any order you wanted. I thought that was a really cool idea. But they can always change stuff, like make it fit a little, because I know there was like one level they talked about that was like, oh, and this level is very, how the, those like two and three had way more, action, like you're killing human characters a ton. I mean, mm-hmm. you kill a ton of the reboots, but on what one Tomb Raider 1 was, you hardly killed human characters except for the main, like, lackeys of Nahla were the only humans you actually killed in.
Yeah, the only humans you kill in the first one are characters with names and stories and everything.
Yeah. And versus two, it's like, oh, there's mob bosses, there's monks you have to fight in Tibet. Yeah. And it's like, why am I killing the monks? They're getting in my way. But yeah, it was really
shot
interesting.
First.
Yeah. It was interesting watching the history of it, because I forgot that how quickly they came out, and then how they dropped core design from doing, after the second one, dropped them to give it to someone else, and then how the departure of someone at, I think it was either at core or somewhere, but like they were very much against like the sexualization of Lara Croft. And then once they were gone, then that's when all that marketing came out. Cause I remember like they showed like the pictures, like the one where she's laying down like the nightgown. I'm like, I totally mm-hmm. remember this marketing magazine. Like just Lara became this sex symbol. I remember it all over these magazines.
Yeah.
Which of course led to that really funny PSX, or it's a PSM April Fool's magazine called Nude Raider, where they did an April Fool's, and then parents were upset, like, there's a game with a nude character. Rah, rah. Of course, it's like super blocky character, and it was a total farce.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really interesting. And then, but yeah, I wouldn't mind. I would love to replay those games like upright, because I loved Anniversary. And I would, man, I wish it was. I tried to look to see if it was available on Mac, but it isn't. And then I don't think Last Revelation ever got a Mac release. I tried looking on Steam, but I think it's only Windows.
I have all of them somewhere. I don't know if I ever found them. When we moved, I realized I'm missing like half of the games I ever owned, and I don't know what the hell happened to them. But I have like all the Tomb Raiders, and it would be fucking great to go replay them, because honestly, the only one I really remember is the first one, because I played it 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. The other ones I just played like a few times, or I would just like go in and screw around in different levels and stuff. So it would be nice to just like play through all of them, be like, okay, yeah, I do remember this. I just haven't played it in forever.
Yeah, I have them all in a box with all my other stuff. I think my PS2 games and my old PS2s, my Slim, my Fat, and then my PS3, mm-hmm. PS3s. So I could just bust out my PS3, set this up, and play the PlayStation 1 games on there. But
yeah, that's what I have. My PS3 is just like sitting, waiting for me to find the games that I want to play on it.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm really curious to see what'll happen with the Tomb Raider franchise after this game. Because since this one wraps up the trilogy, essentially, mm-hmm. I'm curious what they'll do. I realized, though, when I was playing it, like, I had fun. I like there was way less backtracking, like that Metroidvania elements of it, than there was in Rise of the Tomb Raider,
which
I'm not always a fan of. Like, I hate when I get somewhere and it's like, oh, I can clearly go this direction if I had the proper tool for it. Like I always hate, it's like, oh, I just want to explore up there, but I can't. Like, there's a collectible up there, I know there is, I can, it's telling me, but I can't go up there because I don't have the item. There's a little bit of it in this where there's like some, like maybe a challenge tomb or a crypt, and like, oh, you can't go here till you have the shotgun. But you can get that shotgun pretty quick as long as you progress in the story. Though there is one item you like it for, at one point it's like, oh, you need a lockpick, and then there's that automatic, I think it's like a pulley machine or whatever. There's like certain, you shoot the rope or an arrow with a rope into a thing, but you need this electronic device to like help you pull it, and it's like, oh, you need this thing. But in order to get that, you basically have to do this side quest to make this merchant appear, and then you can buy it from that merchant. Otherwise, you can't get it. And I'm like, that's weird. Why would you? I mean, I was doing all the side stuff just to do it anyway, so it was odd that it was like hidden behind this one character on a side quest. And then the other thing I had, I realized the one problem I have with Tomb Raider is that I feel like they don't really recap and go in depth about a lot of stuff, because it's very, like, this game was very, well, I guess they're all kind of like that. Well, not really Rise. Rise was kind of straightforward, but it's all like, it's all about mythology and all this stuff. Like the, I think it was the queen in the first one. I almost wanted to call her a witch, but it's like the queen. And then, this one has to do with like this apocalypse, this Mayan apocalypse. But so, unlike Uncharted, see, I feel like that's why I like Uncharted better, is because it's dealing with these, you know, myth ideas like El Dorado or Shambhala or what's the third one? I'm totally blanking on it. Anyways, Lost City. I forget what it's called. But like these myths of these places, but they're rooted in these real life explorers or these real life people. So when Drake is recapping the story, like, oh, and then he would have gone here and hooked up with these people there and made a deal and yada, I feel like that really roots the story and I can follow it much easier. Where Laura doesn't really do that. Like, she'll talk like, oh, this is, you know, Ketakan, they're the goddess of so-and-so, this and that, and like blah blah, and I can kind of get an idea, okay, I can see like there's this god and there's this god, because she keeps bringing them up. I'm like, okay, they're important, and then there's this, but it's never, the story's never rooted in an actual person. Now there is in this one, there's like this sub story of a character back in like 1622 who, like, as you explore the region you're in, there is this explorer who visited the same region, and you can find his journal entries. But, and that fills in this pretty big side story, which plays into the overall story while they're looking for these items. And it's like, if you didn't find these, you're missing out on all this side story content. Like, there's one part where it's like, oh, you know, I think his name is Lopez. It's like, Lopez so-and-so, blah, blah, this and that. I'm like, yeah, but she says it in the cutscene, but if you didn't read his journal entries or find them, then you don't know at all about this backstory to this character who is causing you to go through this crazy stuff. Like, you have no idea. So it was really weird that they would gate it behind collectibles, because Uncharted has treasures, but they don't have hidden journals. Like, everything is told to the character through Nathan, like, as you find these clues. So I feel like that's where I like the storytelling in Uncharted much better. I feel like I'm more engaged and involved because they're giving me these details all the time.
Rather than hiding, like, pretty major plot points and, like, lore tidbits and collectibles, it should just be, like, extra stuff, like extra world building things, or just like, oh, okay, I see, you know, how this is connected. And they never mention a connection between two things, but if you read all the little lore points, you're like, oh, that's pretty cool that these things are connected. But it's not like a big thing, it's not an issue.
Yeah, but I really like the puzzles and the challenges and the tombs and stuff. I didn't do every tomb. At one point I was like, all right, I'm pretty close to the end, I'm just gonna finish the game. Having the difficulty on the puzzles turned up to the highest to where she wouldn't help you, that was really cool, because then I could just do all the puzzles. She doesn't say like, oh, this is a pulley system, I bet I can get this moving if I do that. It's like, it's just me figured out. The things aren't highlighted, I have to solve it. I love that a lot. I hope more games kind of adopt that style. And then, but yeah, I thought that was really cool. The whole difficulty sliders in the game, I thought was cool. But yeah, good looking game. I kind of wish, I still think it's weird that they have different outfit options, but you can't wear the customized outfits on top of those. It makes you put on the default one, which is so weird to me.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, why would you do that? Just let me wear this other outfit, but put that stuff on top. Like, it's, I don't know, whatever. I never felt like the upgrades mattered in this one. The skills, rather. Because I felt like in Rise, like, there's a lot of points where you have to fight your way through enemies. Or, like, you need to. Like, there's no way you're going to stealth your way through it, almost. It's like, you have to fight. So there were abilities that you would unlock in that one, like, oh, dodge an enemy and then hit triangle to do a takedown counterattack. And it's like, investing in that skill worked out because I used it a lot in the last game. And I think they had that same skill in the first game. I can't remember. But they had the skill in this one. I felt like I never needed it because there's never a point where I was like, it forced me into combat. Or like, the times it does force you into combat, it's like, you're never up close. Like, you're pretty much behind cover and then popping shots every now and then. And I stealth my way through most of the stuff. So I'm glad they do have the stealth options because that made it a lot of fun. But it was just all the other skills, I felt like these don't really, feel like they just don't do anything. Like, I never felt like, oh, if I get this skill, it's game changer. It's because the opportunities to use whatever the skill was never seemed to really come up. Even that skill for, like, they introduced where you can shoot an arrow into someone and then pull their body up onto, like, a tree branch and take them down that way. Like, when they first introduced it to you, it's like, oh, that's cool. And you, like, you use it as the tutorial part. And then I use it, like, maybe one more time. But after that, it's like, I hardly used it or had an opportunity, really, like, based on the level design and where the enemies were. Like, mm-hmm. I guess if I waited and slowly baited guys over into a spot, I could have done it. But it's like, I just didn't do it. But yeah, it was a good game. They had some pretty interesting character designs, especially for one of a character you meet later on has a pretty, I really like the character design for him. There was a very unsettling, like, facial modification they did because it was like his old tribe kind of thing. I was like, that's really unsettling, but that's really cool. Like, I like the way it looked. it was a, I felt like if it was just, I don't know, just a little more in the story, it would have been more involved, but I liked it. It was fun. I liked it more than Rise because the story in Rise, I felt like I kind of knew where it was going with the one character, which turns out to be like the person you're looking for. And you're like, okay, I know where this is going. But I felt like the end of Rise didn't really do anything with the MacGuffin. This one, at least, there's like something that happens. It's like, okay, I can kind of see it play out. But yeah, definitely curious what'll happen next. And then if they do something next, who it'll go to? Because will it go back to Crystal, or will it be Eidos Montreal again? But yeah, hopefully they. Because now it's kind of, they can just. Well, I can't spoil anything, but. But yeah. And I'd be really interested. They're kind of free to do whatever they want now. So,
yeah.
Plus, there's no Uncharted, so there's no tomb raiding action adventure kind of game coming out anymore. So, you can be the one. But yeah, other than that, again, nothing else until next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Get Odyssey. Play some of that. And then Red Dead will be at the end of the month, of course. But yeah, just gonna have to wait. Hopefully get some news in between then and now, but we'll see. But all right, well, I guess that'll wrap it up for this episode. So thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Zai, for joining.
Yep.
And we'll see you all next time.
Bye.